Well, it's a pleasure to be with you this morning, and I'm very grateful to Hugh, your very able assistant, who is beginning to lead the first half of our service. Thank you, Hugh. Well, I want two texts this morning. The first is from Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2. The wise men came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east. We have come to worship him." And then look at verse 11. "And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and worshipped him." Now, tomorrow is the 6th of January, is the Feast of Epiphany. This is the appearing of Jesus Christ manifestly to the Gentile world. The Magi were Gentiles, wise sophists, Gentile priests, philosophers, and there had been these Magi for about 5 centuries before Christ, who wanted to seek out wisdom, and as we had it in Corinthians, the world by its wisdom knew not God and cannot know God. But these sophists, these people who wanted to scratch their heads, open their minds and to think, wanted to find a way how to overcome evil. What is the world about? How can we be good people? And there were so many of these sophists, these philosophers. But you see, they didn't find what they want, and they never will. And so these pagan Gentiles, realizing that there is only one religion in the Middle East that has only one God, they must have the answer to wisdom to give us the answers that we need. And so they find out, and from this star, where this baby is to be born. And so they journeyed. And as we understand and as we know, they were seeking answers to life. And they brought with them 3 gifts. They traveled to Jerusalem, and their gift of gold was a symbol of this baby's kingship, frankincense of this baby's grown-up priesthood, and then myrrh for this baby's grown-up sacrifice for salvation. They wouldn't possibly have understood any of those things, but that is what they could have been told. Wisdom, Christian wisdom, that brings us to know God. And I want to see 3 things from these texts this morning about Christian wisdom. You see, there's a difference between knowledge. You can have a head full of knowledge, but you won't be a wise person, because wisdom is applied knowledge. And what we want is knowledge that enables us to live, to understand ourselves, to understand our future, to understand our world. That's what we have in Jesus. So I want us to see 3 things about this wisdom that we have in Jesus. And we see from these texts that these wise men tell us that it is found in a person. "For we have come to worship him." Where is this child who is born King of the Jews? "We have seen his star in the east. We have come to worship him." We have not come to listen to him. Well, of course, he was only a baby. We have not come to learn from him. We have not come to debate with him. we have come to worship him, not to sit at his feet, but to kneel before him. And it's very interesting that this word in Greek comes again in Matthew in chapter 28, when the disciples see the risen Lord, they worship Jesus. And that is true for us. To worship is to reverence, to praise, to exalt, to glorify, to abase oneself before one another. That is what it means to worship. Not to discuss, not to debate, but to submit oneself. And I think that this is something very practical. Wisdom is something that leads us to understand the nature of Scripture. Because if Jesus is made unto us wisdom, well, what is the purpose of Scripture? Well, the purpose of Scripture is to elucidate, to interpret what Jesus is, what Jesus has done. You know, we sing that wonderful hymn, "Beyond the sacred page we seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, thou living word." Beyond the sacred page. Oh no, not the Bible by itself as an end in itself. The Bible must lead us where the star led the wise man, unto Jesus. And so, as it is in Scripture, we move from the written word to the eternal word. And incidentally, that is the home purpose of preaching. I always remember a very great preacher saying, and wisely, the purpose of preaching is by the spoken word, through the written word, to take us to the eternal word. You see, that is the object. It's the object of the wise man to come down and kneel before him in worship. That's what the Epiphany means. Jesus is appearing to this Gentile world and to these kingdoms. Well, now then, if the wisdom of God, the power of God, is found in Jesus Christ, there's the next question, is a very important one. How do we attain this wisdom that is in this person who is in heaven, who was on earth and died for our sins and rose again? How do we get this wisdom? Where does it come from? Well, many people think that wisdom is something that we get with our minds. It's academic, it's intellectual, it's reasoning, it's thinking. Ah, yes, well, it does involve that. But it is much more. And thank God for that, because we're not all intellectual people. We're not all great thinkers. But wisdom comes from another way, not just by thinking, but by encountering. This is something that is, I think, very important. After all, this morning, I don't academically, intellectually rationalize you here. No, 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 that wouldn't get me anywhere. But how do I get something from you? It is by encountering you. I see you with my eyes. I shall hear you with my ears. I can meet you when walking to you. Encountering. That's the way. That's what these wise men did. They encountered Jesus in their whole being and knelt down and worshipped. And what we need is encountering. encountering with our eyes, our ears, our feet, encountering. And you know, but the more you emphasize wisdom comes by the rational, the more your prayer life will become speaking. But if you find and feel that you are encountering the risen Lord, encountering him, our prayer life changes. It is more meditative because we are thinking not only with our minds, we are feeling with our hearts, and we are bringing our wills. And so this is what is happening. When one encounters the Lord, one is coming with one's whole self and not just one's brain. Thank God for that. We've got brains, but we need more than that to know him. And we need to be those who encounter in him. And you know, one of the verses that I want to bring to you, Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. During those days, Jesus went out and spent the whole night in prayer. Did he speak all the time? Sometimes we think that prayer is just talking. Perhaps we do too much talking when we're thinking of prayer. If Jesus was spending the whole night with his Father, he was not talking all the time. He was resting in the experience of encountering his Heavenly Father. Encountering, resting. You know, and I think when you get two people who fall in love, yes, they just want each other. They don't want to talk all the time. They just want you to be together, encountering one another. And I think that this is the type of prayer that so frequently in our evangelical churches, to be honest, is absolutely at a minimum, if at all. We've got to be talking, we've got to be doing, we must never be being ourselves in the stillness. Be still and know that I am God. I have no intention of becoming a Roman Catholic, neither do I need to. But I have a great respect for the new Pope, Pope Francis. And he is a man who is having tremendous drawing power. Evidently, more people are attending Catholic services in the last 9 months, twice as many as attended in the previous Pope. Well, you can make of you what you like about that. But why is he drawing people so much? Is it a gimmick? No, it isn't a gimmick. Is it a charm offensive? No. What it is because he is a man of meditative prayer. Do you know that when he was Archbishop in Buenos Aires, he every morning spent 2 hours in meditative prayer, and he still does. And then, having met with his Lord, encountered his Lord, he then goes out and meets the ordinary people, and they love him because he's come down to be with them. This is why he is being so helpful to many. And I think he could be helpful to us to learn from what he has been doing. I certainly, having had 50 years in the ministry, am so glad that I know that my study is no longer just a place where I sit and look at my commentaries. No! The study is a place where you meet and you worship. in your heart of hearts, you sit in your seat and you look out and you just be still in the presence of the Lord by the power of the Word, by the Holy Spirit. And I think myself, as we go into the new year, this could be greater blessing to us than all the modern ideas of changing this and changing that. What it is that draws people to God is godliness, knowing Jesus. And that is what we are seeing this particular man is doing, and we need to do, as indeed the saints of the past, whether you think of Paul or Augustine, Luther, Wesley's, they have encountered the risen Lord in the silence of their own hearts. Did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us on the way? Now, that was the experience on the road to Emmaus. But it can be with us as we stop talking and stop doing and become being in the presence of God. And that is what these people did. They came into the presence of God. And what did they see in the face of that baby? We don't know. But it would have been something that would have overwhelmed them, as it did. And that's what it says. It did overwhelm them with joy, because they looked into the face of our Lord. Well, there we are. Wisdom is in Jesus. It is explained and it is encountered through the Word by the Spirit. But we've got to get beyond the Word to the Lord. But then I want to give you another text which explains exactly the same thing, and that is in St. Paul. And it's the last verse that was read in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1 and verse 30. Jesus, he is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom. Here it is, St. Paul is taking up what the wise men instinctively understood. Jesus Christ is made unto us wisdom. Yes, he, a person whom we have to encounter, he is made unto us wisdom. And then it just goes over and says, as it were, dot, 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 dot. Wisdom, he is our righteousness, our sanctification, and redemption. Wisdom does those things for us. What does it mean? Well, I think righteousness means our acceptance before God. Our past is forgiven. Did you see that program last night on the television, which was about the earthen soldiers in China that were built, made 2,000 years ago, and they were built as an army to overcome all the enemies of the emperor who had died. And he was so burdened by the guilt, he had to have 2,000 of these soldiers made of terracotta to overcome the enemies that he had made. But we don't have many enemies. We are all forgiven. He's made unto us righteousness. Our past is gone. Forgiven. He is made unto us righteousness. But then he's made unto us sanctification. Now in Romans chapter 7 and 8, you have this taught most ably by St. Paul. But there are two conflicting forces. There's what he calls the world and the flesh, and there is the Spirit. And the Spirit is stronger than the flesh, and the flesh is our old nature that takes us away from God and makes us self-sufficient. We can manage. Oh yes, we can do it all. We can do. We don't need anything more. That's the flesh. But Christ is made unto us sanctification, strength, energy, power to overcome. Yes, Christ in himself, in his death and resurrection, is the wisdom, righteousness that gives us peace. He is sanctification which gives us strength, and he is also redemption, which means release at the end, when we shall know by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No, so we've got all those things, and they're the substance of the wisdom that the wise men encountered in this divine person who was met by them. Well, here we are. Isn't it strange? Isn't it wonderful? The wise men came with three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they gave them to the baby. They gave them to Jesus. But you know, on the first Sunday of a new year, as we look at all that we want to do in our church and we want to do in ourselves, we come to Jesus and we don't give him gifts, but we take them. What are they? Well, there's the peace of righteousness. There is the power of sanctification, and there is the hope of redemption. That's made unto us wisdom. And so in our quietness, oh, I beg of you, let us as evangelicals be meditative prayers, and let our hearts burn within us, however many minutes we can allow in each day, as we look to the Lord. He's our wisdom, he's our strength, he's our acceptance, and here's our hope. They knelt down and worshipped him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, grant that as we go into this new year, we shall not be so proud that we think that we can accomplish so much in our own strength, but that we shall kneel and come to our Lord and receive the wisdom that he alone can give, and that he can give us as we kneel before him. We ask it in his name. Amen.